much so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, and he gave us, out of his own love, his only begotten son, he gave us something very precious. So we see there that God is a lover, he's a giver. But the thing I want to major on is the love of God. He also commanded us in the Word of God that we're to love not only him, but we're to love ourselves and to love others. And to do that, God will give us the ability to do that. God never requires from us something that we cannot do of ourselves. God would not want us to love in our own flesh. He would not want us to love out of our own reasoning, because they would go by what goes around us through the knowledge of good and evil. But God wants us to love through his knowledge of truth. He wants us to love the way that he loves. So how do we receive that love? How do we receive God's love to be able to love like he loves? So we see that first of all in John 3. We see a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This is John chapter 3, verse 1. He comes as a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, this is a reality, this is a fact. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 4, you see there, Nicodemus cannot reason that out. He can't fathom what Jesus is talking about, because it's a spiritual truth, not a natural truth, a reasoning truth, a logic truth. It's a truth of the Spirit, the knowledge of truth. It goes on, and Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, And verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, in verse 7, that you must be born again. What is this scripture talking about? It's talking about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Some of us know this truth is called regeneration, or being saved, or being born again, being recreated, or whatever, become a new creature in Christ. But the Bible's teaching here that we must be born of God's Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's work must be done in our spirit and upon us according to the Word of God. I like in Titus chapter 3, it says it's the work of the Holy Spirit. In a new birth, we see that when Jesus, on the night that he came back, breathed into them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, that they did, and they became born of God's Spirit. We also can also be born of God's Spirit. He said, You will not enter the kingdom of God unless you are truly born again. In Titus 3:5, it says, It's not according to our works of righteousness, 3:5, which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That word regeneration, the same word as being born again, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I like this. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 20 through 28, it talks about how God created man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into that nostrils the breath of his own life, and man became a living soul, a living being. And it says that he partook of the image and the likeness of God. We notice that when Adam sinned, he was spiritually separated out of the garden, and that nature of sin gripped Adam's spirit, and he spiritually died that day, or spiritually was separated from God's presence to live on his own and to work out his own labor for his own food and means. But through Jesus Christ, he redeemed that and gave it back to us and restored what that sin did. And in that restoration, in that renewal that the Holy Ghost does in our spirit, he places back into us his image and his likeness of who he truly is. And love is one of those facets of who God truly is. And that's good, because it says here that it's the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we ask Jesus to come into our heart. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. At that moment, the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit, removes out of us that nature of sin and death, places or sets within us a seed of God that has the divine nature of God within it, and he renews our spirit to have the very image and likeness of who God is. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might, now listen to this, be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lusts. Through lust. So we see here that when we got born again, we accepted Jesus Christ according to the good news. The Holy Spirit took that nature of sin out of us and replaced it with the divine nature of God. In 1 John 3:9, it begins to describe that as the seed of God. In other words, when I gave birth to my children through my seed, that they carried on my nature, my image, my likeness of who I was. So when we got born of the Spirit, you have to see it spiritually. Those that are born of the flesh are flesh. We have our own children. We see our own image and likeness in them. So that when we got born of God, he begins to see his image and likeness within us, because he placed within us his divine nature. He placed within us who he is in our spirit. But notice it's in seed form. Notice that it's not full grown. It's only placed within our spirit in seed form. So when we were born of God, we did receive his divine nature. We did receive his image and his likeness. But we received it in seed form. How do we begin to partake of that divine nature? The Bible just told us in verse 4 there, in 2 Peter 1, that it's through partaking of the promises of God. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. It's only by the Word of God, it's only by the seed of God, that we begin to partake of God's Word, as we begin to understand the knowledge of truth in this Word, that it can begin to expand that seed that's in our spirit, the divine nature of God. We can begin to become lovers like God is love. I can begin to love those that love me not. I can begin to do good to those that do me wrong. I can begin to pray for those that persecute me. And next week we'll see how Jesus acted out this love and shown us how we are truly to love like he loved. But today I want to introduce you to the love. I want you to understand that you received this love when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit began his work in renewing your spirit, taking out that nature of sin, placing within you the divine nature of God, you became a partaker and a child of God. You have been renewed back to the image and the likeness that he created Adam before he sinned. And now through the second Adam, we receive that again, that image and likeness of God within our spirit. But 1 John 3:9 goes on to say that it's in seed form. It goes, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Talking about the divine nature of God in us. God cannot sin. For God's seed remains in us. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. So we have truly been born of God. He's our Father and we are Son. Because the next verse goes on to show that. In this, the children of God are manifested. How are the children of God manifested? When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God placed his divine seed within us, his divine nature within us, and we began to be born of his Spirit through the renewal of the Holy Ghost. We receive the divine nature of God within us, the very image and the likeness of him. Now we go over to Romans chapter 5, and we begin to see how that in this, the Holy Ghost shed God's love on us or in us. You will begin to notice that in a new birth, we're new creatures in Christ. The Bible begins to show us everything that we received when we truly were born again. And we need to explore into that. We need to draw that out so we begin to understand what happened to us when we truly were born again of God. In 5:5 of Romans, it says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our spirits by the Holy Ghost. Notice again, the Holy Ghost is involved with this, which has been given to us. That's a passive in the Greek. It means that God gave to us his love. That God gave us the ability to be lovers. That God gave his love to us in seed form so that we can begin to bear his image and his likeness. And there's a reason for this. We'll see it maybe not tonight, but next week. So in Galatians chapter 5, we begin to see that out of this seed that we receive, the divine nature of God, there's nine fruits that can come out of this seed that bears witness or testimony that we have truly been born again, that we have truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Galatians 5, we begin to see this, starting with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, I like to say it this way, the fruit of the recreated Spirit. When we have truly been born again, when we have truly accepted Jesus Christ in the heart, He's recreated our spirit. He recreated us. And out of that comes nine fruits to bear witness. Notice the very first one is love. But the fruit of the recreated Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is love. So again, I want you to draw your attention that God gives us the ability to be lovers like He is lover. He gives us the image and the likeness of who He is. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4 through 8, the Bible begins to describe to us what the love of God is. It gives a very good definition of this love that we got birthed into us through the Holy Ghost the day we accepted Jesus Christ. And it begins to describe to us in seed form this love in us. Let's look at this. The God kind of love, this is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. This God kind of love in us endures long. Think about that. It's patient and kind. I've seen a lot of people say to me, I love, but it doesn't last very long, and I'm not going to be very patient. And they're not very kind while they are patient, waiting to love someone. But notice, God's love is the opposite. It endures long, and it is patient, and it is kind. This God kind of love, you can say it like this, this God kind of love, and I, Matthew Farkas, or this kind of love in us, never is envious, boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. We begin to see here that if we can truly walk in this image and likeness of God's love, we will begin to see the carnality leave church. We will begin truly to see the love of God take the place of carnality that has filled our churches with envy, jealousy, and strife. Because listen to this, it endures long and is patient and kind, never envious or boils over with jealousy, it's not boastful or vainglorious, it does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5, it's not conceited, this love of God that's in us. It's not arrogant or inflated with pride. And again, this is taken out of the Amplified. It's not rude. This God kind of love is not rude. It's not unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. The God kind of love that is in us does not insist on its own rights, its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. It takes no account, now listen to this, takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to the suffered wrong. I've been now pastoring for many years, and I think sometimes the church people are the most offended. They seem to hold on things that somebody's done to them 5 days ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and they just don't seem to let it go. They get offended, they get hurt. They quit coming to church. They quit being a part of the church because of what somebody did to them. But listen what this God kind of love can do to us if we begin to grow this love in our life. It will take no account of the evil done to it. Wouldn't that be nice and sweet in our churches that we would not take account of the evil that's done to us? Pay no attention to the suffered wrong that somebody done to us. They wronged me. They stole from me. They hurt me. You don't know how hurt that hurt me, Pastor, way down in my spirit. You don't understand what that done to me. But it says in the Bible that God has given us the divine nature of Himself, that we can learn to love those that have hurt us. We can love those that have done us wrong. We can begin to pray for those that have persecuted. It is a powerful weapon. It's the power of God in us at work because God has given us the ability. Remember, it's in seed form, but it can become a fruit that begins to bear in our life. And I'll show you that in a moment. In verse 6, this God kind of love in us does not rejoice at injustice. Sometimes you begin to talk to somebody and they'll begin to tell you all the wrongs and the injustice that work has done to them. Their mate has done to them. Their kids have done to them. Their family has done to them. See, God's kind of love doesn't do that. The image and likeness of God, He doesn't hoard up things. He says that when we ask Him to forgive us, He truly not only forgives us, but remembers it no more. Isn't that good? That's the covenant we've entered into. The God kind of love in us does not take notice of unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. This God kind of love in us bears up under anything and everything that comes. If something comes in our life of a circumstance that we don't understand, we don't know why God permitted it or allowed it to come into our life, we don't get squeezed by that anymore. We don't fear that anymore. We don't get crunched by that anymore. We don't look at that, but we look at God's love in us. We look at who Christ is in us to make us more conquerors in Christ. It bears up under everything and everything that comes. It's ever ready, listen to this, to believe the best of every person. Think if we'd speak this over our children and believe the best of our children. We could believe that they can be anything that they would like to be in the divine will of God. The best of every child that God gives to us. God believes the very best for each one of us. His hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Remember the first verse in 5, Romans 5 said, it will not disgrace us. It will not shame us. God's love will never put us in shame. It's never fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. And it goes on, love never fails. And so we see here that this is in seed form. The Bible goes on to teach us how we're to birth that seed of love and begin to make it grow. Okay, Pastor, we have the love of God in us. I understand that I've been born again. I received the divine nature of God. I understand that His seed is in me. But how do I begin to love like God loves? I understand that what you just read to me in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, that part of love is in me. It's in seed form. I understand it's fruit of that seed. The character of God can begin to become a part of my life. But how do I make it a part of my life? Jesus begins to answer that over in Mark chapter 4. He begins to teach us that we're to cast the seed constantly into our spirit so that it will begin to grow. There's no other way that this love, this seed, will grow. If I need corn in my garden to grow, the only way that I'll get it to grow, not by prayer, not by fasting, not by speaking it, only by planting seed corn will I get corn. And if I want corn and I plant carrots, I'm not going to get corn. Even if I call corn carrots, it's still going to grow corn because that is the nature of the seed of corn. So if I begin to plant scriptures that teach me about the love of God into my spirit as Jesus teaches here, then I'm going to understand that His divine nature of love is going to begin to be birthed in me. It's going to begin to become fruit of my spirit, become fruit of my life, become a character of my nature, become a part of who I am, a part of my nature. And so we see that in the Word of God. Let's look at this in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as of a man should cast seed into the ground. Your spirit is your ground. The seed, according to Luke 8, verse 11, is the Word of God. The Word of God contains all the promises of God, and according to Corinthians, they are all yes and amen. But I'm telling you, you have to find specific scriptures that deal with love and to begin to sow those into your spirit, and that will begin to produce love. In other words, I have, again, this is a simple illustration, but it's factual. If I have numerous seeds of different types of fruit and vegetables, but I want corn, I can only plant corn seed to get corn. Yes, all of it is seed. Every vegetable and every fruit seed is still all seed, but if I want a specific seed to produce a specific fruit, I have to plant that seed. And so all the promises of God, yes, are amen and yes. But if I want love in my life, I must specifically plant love seed into my spirit. Are you following me? I must continue to sow that seed, part of God's word, into my spirit, and it will begin to birth that seed that's already in me, ignite the divine nature of God, and allow me to begin to partake the image and the likeness of that love, and becomes a part of my very character and nature of who I am. I begin to walk in love. I don't remember the wrongs that are done to me. I endure long. I'm patient. I begin to become kind. I become all those adjectives of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, begin to become a part of my life. So in Mark 4, we begin to read this. And so is the kingdom of God. So is the love of God. If a man should cast the love seed into his spirit, and he should sleep and rise night and day, that seed of love should begin to spring and grow up. He doesn't even have to understand how. You don't have to understand how the Word of God is going to produce that divine seed inside of you, that nature of love inside of you, that nature of God inside you. Your responsibility is just to find the right seed, the right promises of God, and begin to sow them into your spirit. And the Bible promises if we continue to plant that seed, continue to plant that word into our spirit, that it will begin to produce that fruit. You don't even have to understand how. For the earth will bring forth fruit of itself. Corn will begin to grow if you plant corn seed. The love of God spiritually. Notice as Jesus described that the spiritual birth is a lot like the natural birth through a seed. We're born in the natural through my Father's seed. I'm also born into the realm of the Spirit through my spiritual father, God's seed. And his seed remains in me. My natural dad's seed remains in my flesh. And God's seed, his divine nature, rests in my spirit. But he goes on and it says, for the earth itself, the ground, your spirit will all of a sudden bring forth fruit of itself. First, that seed will begin to grow root, then a blade, then an ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit of love is brought forth, immediately you put forth your sickle because harvest is come. Notice there that this is seasonal. Notice that the love of God just doesn't begin to operate the next day. If I planted a tomato seed today, and I went out to my garden tomorrow, I don't even know if I'd even see the plant of a tomato yet. It takes a season, sometimes 90 days, sometimes 120 days to bear a tomato on that tomato plant. Same thing with the love of God. We begin to plant that love in our spirit. Now, natural seed's different than spiritual seed. As the Holy Ghost is renewing our spirit, there's no time in the realm of the spirit, so things go quicker, but there's still a season. That's what the Bible's bringing out here. That you begin, you might have been a hater. You might have persecuted people. You might have done people wrong. You might have been a very rotten person inside. But this love of God that now is inside of you can revolutionize your life, can renew you. And so we see that in the Word of God. And so we see that if we continue to cast that seed into our spirit, it will cause us to begin to become like His image and likeness. The first place I would get started is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. You begin to take the scripture and you can begin to put your own name there. Beloved, let I, Matthew Farkas, love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that is born of God and knoweth God. Did you notice that? Everyone that love is born of God and knows God. And it goes on through these scriptures and begins to describe to you his love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Then over here, it keeps on going, even to the verse 21. This is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves his brother loves God also. So over in John chapter 13, we're going to be closing, because this is where I'm going to open up next week. In John chapter 13, we're going to pick up here next week, but I'm going to open it up and close it so that you can be thinking about this, the love of God. And I'm going to show you how Jesus began to demonstrate this love in his own ministry to help us to begin to sow this love into our lives and ministries. In John chapter 13, it goes on and says, in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So here again, we begin to see that God has given us the ability to love like he loves. Isn't that good? He gave us the divine power, according to the Word of God, that we partake of, to give us the ability to begin to love like him, to begin to bear his image and his likeness, to begin to make his character, which is love, a part of our character, so that it begins to bear in our nature, that we become and act like his child, having his nature, imaging and reflecting his love in our own life. Enduring long, being kind, taking no account of the wrong done to me, taken wrong or the evil done to me. And Jesus said, this is a new commandment. Remember, he's given us the ability to do that. And how do I know, Pastor, when I'm truly walking in love? When you continue to sow God's word into your spirit, keep meditating on the love of God, and eventually, you don't understand how, it'll begin to partake in your own life. You will begin to be able to pray for those that persecute you, do good to those that wrong you. You'll begin to be a lover and not a hater. And in verse 35, by this all men, listen to this, by this fruit alone, love of God, will all men know that we are truly disciples of Jesus if we have love one to another. And wrapping this up, I just want you to see here that the love of God doesn't come because we pray for it, or because we speak it over our life, or we fast for it. It can only come as you continue to plant God's word into your life concerning love. And as you do that, the Holy Ghost will continue to bubble up or spring up that love into our life. And the reason I'm bringing this out, because I think at the beginning of the new year, it's something that we could begin to understand, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He loved the world. And another place it said that only God died for the unlovable. That God died for me and loved me while I was yet a sinner. I think if the church can begin to walk in this image and likeness of God, all men shall truly know we are the disciples of the Lord. And next week, I would like to begin to show you how Jesus acted this out and gave us his example of how we are to walk in this love. All men, male, female, youth, adult, children, any age in this world will know that we truly love God and truly love one another. When they see that love in us, they will truly know we are his disciples. And next week I will show you how Jesus walked in this love. Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for this love. We thank you that we've truly been born of the Spirit, that your divine nature is within us, that you give us your image and your likeness, and that we truly become a part of who you truly are. Thank you for letting this love be birthed and shed abroad in us when we were born again. Now let this love begin to grow in us as we begin to meditate in your scriptures, as we cast that seed into our spirit, as we continue to meditate on your word, that we will begin to be partakers of that divine nature that's within us, and we will begin to become lovers like you. And not only will we love you, Father, we'll love ourselves and begin to love others, and others will truly know that we truly are your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.